Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
How might we build a safer vehicle? Well, the newly passed infrastructure law has several provisions on this question, which could mean that the car of tomorrow will include, say, better hoods, bumpers, headlights, perhaps technology to prevent drunk driving, and alerts to tell drivers what's happening in the back seat. Let's hand the wheel over to Greg Fink. He is senior editor at Car and Driver. Greg, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Scott. Great to be here.
Now, you dug into the details of this 1,000-plus page infrastructure law, so we don't have to. And you found all these details about process and bureaucracy, but is it fair to say that change is coming to the car of tomorrow?
Yes, and you can see it if you decide to read the 1,039-page bill, that the government is really looking to try to make cars safer, both for the people inside of them and for those outside of it, not to mention the fact they're pouring tons of money into making a better electric vehicle infrastructure. We can really see that there is a change coming this way.
Okay. Now, one of those possible changes is more protective hoods and bumpers, which the Europeans are already moving toward. How might they work?
Well, Europe's moved toward it several years ago. Their provisions, the hoods themselves, where there needs to be 0.8 inches of space between the bottom of the hood and the nearest hard part, so that, say, you run into a pedestrian, hopefully you don't, you know, there's some space for the impact to hit without somebody's head immediately hitting a hard part of an engine, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah, okay. Future cars may also have new sensors, such as sensing what's happening in the backseat of the car, but also sensors to interact with smarter roads of the future. We spoke last month with Louisiana's Secretary for Transportation and Development, Sean Wilson, and here's what he said about infrastructure money and smart mobility technology.
Louisiana is one of 16 states that failed to hit its safety targets 2 years in a row, which means we're killing too many people on our roads, pedestrians, bicyclists, individuals in vehicles. We can use technology to interface with the vehicle, with the cell phone, and using technology in a smarter way is perhaps a greater investment than just looking and putting down concrete and asphalt.
And Greg, are there provisions in this law to kind of have these smarter systems, smarter roads, smarter vehicles, smarter cities?
Well, the biggest thing is going to be vehicle-to-X communication, X being vehicle-to-vehicle, vehicle-to-infrastructure, say the stoplights, or vehicle-to-person, you know, if you're carrying your cell phone. And what's really going to help that is both the cars having more technology and also the broadband portion of the bill. So if, say, there's construction on the road ahead and there's a construction worker, you know, very close to the lane, the other cars will alert your car, or his or her cell phone will alert your car to the distance of where they are.
Now, one thing that sounds to me space age, but perhaps this technology is here or on the way, is breathalyzers. Are there technologies coming that would prevent or try to prevent drunk driving?
Ideally, you know, I assume it'd be a breathalyzer of some sort that would, or maybe it would be touch-based, but your car would know if you're driving impaired and it would prevent you from turning it on. But I am personally a little skeptical of how quickly this will happen, and honestly, even if it kind of falls through the cracks.
Yeah, okay. Now, I understand you think one of the best new things that could be coming is better headlights. How do they work? Are some of those on the market, say, in the European market?
Well, they're on the market now, even. We just don't get the ability to use them. Audi sells it in, I want to say, their e-tron electric SUV. So it's sort of like your pupil of your eye, in a way, where when there's more light, your pupil gets smaller, and when there's not enough light, your pupil gets bigger. And right now we have, you know, automatic bright lights where your car will switch between the bright and the low beam headlights. But this system would allow the headlights to adapt with what's outside of it. Say you're driving, you know, in a two-lane road and a car is coming your way. The left side headlight, it can see the light from the other car. The pupil, per se, will get smaller to not blind the other driver.
Wow.
But the right side headlight would stay brighter to allow you to see, you know, what's going on the right side of the road.
Now, finally, I mean, for the federal government, for regulators to push the safety technology on a certain timeline into vehicles, for some, makes a whole lot of sense for safety reasons. But as far as the price tag for vehicles, I mean, what are the implications there?
The impaired driving features, if that happens, I don't know what those individual pieces cost, but that's certainly something we don't see today, and I assume will probably add a small price to cars. But a lot of what's in here is kind of already out there, or again, with the headlights, that wouldn't be a mandatory thing. It would just allow them to be available, so it'd be an optional extra you'd pay in a, you know, luxury car, and maybe, you know, in the future it'll be an optional extra on your mainstream Honda or Toyota or Ford.
Greg Fink is a senior editor at Car and Driver. Greg, good to have you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much.